Well, good morning, church. Man, it's good to see y'all out here this morning and good to be gathered together. This was one of those Sunday mornings where the sermon almost feels superfluous. We just had such a great time of worship and praise, and I appreciate Tommy's ability to do that and his heart that goes into that. But I got to tell you, Tommy, I think Wade Simmons is creeping up on you. That little guy is a singer. And I hope one day to see him getting to do that, because he was definitely into it. I really appreciate that. So for the past few weeks, we've been looking at trying to take the greatest commandment literally and learning to love our neighbors. And I just got this note that was given me today. I didn't realize this because there's a lot of days that I don't know about, but apparently September 28th, is Good Neighbor Day. So now we have a deadline. If you're not a good neighbor by then, I don't know what I can do with you. September 28th is Good Neighbor Day. So we've been trying to become better literal neighbors, not just to the world in general, but to our physical neighbors, and becoming active in the lives of our community and building relationships with those neighbors. But this morning, I wanted us to take a step back from that just a little bit and look and why this is so important. Now, we talked about some of the reasons why it's really important for us and for the community, but this is kind of a little bit deeper. Dr. Richard Swartz, he's a Cambridge psychiatrist, and he studied the problem of loneliness in America. Now, he notes, he did this over like four decades, so this is a long study, and it has shown the devastating consequences of loneliness. Now, you may think that's limited to certain people or groups, but in fact, one in three adults and about 40% of teenagers confess that they have no relationships close enough to share secrets with. A third of adults and 40% of teens. And that's not without consequences, by the way. We think, well, that's not great, but, you know, what's the problem? Well, loneliness has been linked to an increased risk of cardiovascular disease and stroke, the progression of Alzheimer's, all tied to loneliness. One study found that it can be as much a long-term risk factor as smoking. Now, we all know smoking's unhealthy. I mean, some of us may do that even still, but we know that there's a serious health risk involved with that, and yet we don't think about the consequences of loneliness. In 2015, there was this huge study of data that used 3.5 million people, and it was collected over 35 years, and it found that those who fall into the categories of loneliness or isolation or even just living on their own, they see their risk of premature death rise between 26 and 32%. Risk of premature death rising 25 to 30%. But Schwartz concludes that many people have a hard time admitting they're lonely, right? That's why I didn't start off this morning asking the question, who here is lonely? Because that's not something that we want to confess. That's not something we're comfortable confessing. He says admitting you're lonely feels very much like admitting you're a loser. That's the thing. Psychiatry has worked really hard to destigmatize things like depression, and to a large extent that's been successful, certainly much more successful than in the past. And so people are today more comfortable saying that they are depressed or they're battling depression, but they're not comfortable saying they're lonely, because then all of a sudden you're just the kid sitting alone at a table in a cafeteria. Well, when God created the world, he declared that everything was good, right? The sun, the earth, the moon, the stars, trees and plants and fish and birds and animals, all that was good. He was pleased with everything, mountains, oceans, pleased with it all. And above all, God was most proud of his work with mankind, in whom he breathed his likeness, right? Made man in his likeness, breathed life into him. And all that was good except for one thing. Genesis 2:18 says, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone, so I'll make a helper suitable for him. Loneliness was the fly in God's ointment, so to speak. God had made this perfect creation, Everything was good except for this aloneness. And God fixed that by doubling the human population from 1 into 2. But it's not just a matter of like more people. It's not just having other beings around. No, God made someone who was suitable for him. But people who were created and crafted to be companions. I mean, like two pieces of the jigsaw puzzle fitting together perfectly. And don't miss this point. God designed people for each other. That's the way we were made. So it's not good for us to be alone. And so I have one question then. If it's not good for us to be alone, why do we feel lonely so much of the time? Again, not asking for a survey. We're not going to ask anybody to kind of make yourself vulnerable that way in front of everyone this morning. But I'm willing to guess that at some point in time, all of us have struggled with loneliness. And loneliness is a weird thing. If you're like me, you can stand in a crowded room and feel alone. You may be sitting on a pew with other people right now and still feel not connected to the people around you. You may feel alone. You can have people living in your home and still feel alone. You can have people near your person but far from your heart. You can even be the life of the party and still feel emotionally bankrupt. So I've talked to married people who are aching for intimacy. Kids, little kids, who just want a friend. Teenagers who battle feelings of isolation. Countless single adults who wish they were married so that they would just not be alone, not feel abandoned. And a lot of older people, especially those who have lost a spouse, who feel abandoned or forgotten or isolated. Even church leaders or people that you consider to be leaders, the ones who seem to have it all together, often they feel sort of lost in that they're busy doing things and being something, but they don't really have someone. And God hates all of that. It is not good for men or women to be alone. That even though God wants us to be together, ultimately we struggle with feelings like no one understands me, or no one really cares about me, or maybe even no one even knows the real me. And if they did, they wouldn't like the real me. So the question that I want us to struggle with this morning is, since we've all felt lonely at different points in our lives, where is God in our loneliness? And when we're feeling alone, where is God? Now, far too often in our society's response to the loneliness of others is just to say, you know, deal with it, or buck up, or get over it, or stop being selfish, or something along the lines. But even in the church, our response has sometimes been like, well, you just need to get right with God, or you need to have more faith, or you need to fix yourself, or something like that, right? That there's something wrong with you is why you're feeling lonely, so you just need to fix that. But what about King David? I mean, he was said to be a man after God's own heart. In Psalm 25, 16 and 17, he's writing this psalm to God, and God says to him, turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. Relieve the troubles of my heart and free me from my anguish. Even King David felt lonely. And you go through scripture, you get people like Moses and Job and Noah and Elijah and Jeremiah and Ruth and Esther and Mary and lots of others, all battling loneliness right here in the pages of scripture. I mean, this is the stories of the people we have who are trying to live life with God, and they all battled loneliness. Even Jesus in his earthly ministry often found himself rejected and alone. At different points in his life, scripture mentions his feeling rejected or abandoned, whether it's by his human family or his closest disciples. Even his heavenly father, when he was hanging on the cross, says, you know, I feel abandoned by God. So all of these amazing people of faith, most especially Jesus, even they battled loneliness. But maybe it's the Apostle Paul who in scripture gives us the most detailed realities of wrestling with loneliness. Paul is this passage we're going to be looking at. He's near the end of his roller coaster of a life. And at this point, he is alone in a Roman prison, and he's just sort of waiting to be killed. I mean, that's the reality of the situation. He's been arrested. He's been in prison. He knows he's not getting out. And he's awaiting this execution that could come at any day. And he'd made all these sacrifices for other people. He'd given of himself and given of himself and given of himself for these other brothers and sisters in Christ. All the lives God had used him to touch and to transform, all the people that he had blessed and all the churches he had planted. And Paul is now all alone, largely abandoned and forgotten. And it was at this time and at this state that Paul wrote what was likely his last letter, and it's a letter of encouragement and ministry, training his son in the faith, Timothy. So it's 2 Timothy that we find this passage. And he says, at my defense, he talked about at his trial, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. But the Lord stood at my side and gave me strength, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it, and I was delivered from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So even when Paul was entirely abandoned, he's wasting away in this Roman prison, and he's nearing the end of his life, even then, somehow Paul was able to find the presence of the Lord in the midst of trial, in the midst of struggle, in the midst of all these enemies, surrounded by enemies. He's got this aching loneliness, and even in this aching loneliness, there is God. But I want to just make a really clear point right here. And I need you to listen closely. If you don't get anything else out of the sermon this morning, you need to get this. This is not a message telling you to just ignore those things or to have more faith or to just be stronger. That is not today's message. We are not going to fix your loneliness with just a buck up message and you can get out of this. In fact, I would argue that's the exact opposite. Rather than just pulling ourselves up by our spiritual bootstraps and pushing through on the strength of our unshakable faith, this is about sitting at the bottom of that well of loneliness and acknowledging our great need. Paul is not saying God was there because I was so great. He's saying God was there because I was so desperate. It's not the strong and the capable that come to depend on God. It is not the self-sufficient in need of a friend. It is the desperate and the lonely and the hurting who truly come to know God. Again, from David, the righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to who? The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. And he saves who? Those who are crushed in spirit. It is one of the great mysteries of faith, if you really think about it, that God did not create us to be alone, and yet he is the God of the lonely. Isn't that amazing? God created us to be in companionship, in friendship, in relationship, and he made us to live in community, and yet he is the God of the lonely, the God of the hurting, the God of the abandoned. Because it is in our hours of greatest need that God shows up. Or maybe a better way of putting that is not that that's when God shows up, but that's when we're just desperate enough to see him. Because he's been there the entire time. But even with this, even though God is there, now think about this, even though God is there and he's perfect, he's unlimited, we've got this unlimited heavenly resource right at our fingertips, and even with that, even with this ready access to God anytime, any place, God still places us in communities. God still places us in families. He still places us in churches because he knows one of the great needs of our heart is to love others and to be loved by others. You think about it, when Jesus comes and he's like, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, well, why not just send out a million missionaries? Right? Just everybody go on your own. You don't need one another. You just need the Holy Spirit. You get the Holy Spirit living in you. God is going to be directing you. You're going to have me living and working through you. Why do we need each other? And yet that's exactly what the Holy Spirit does. He guides us into communities of faith. And Paul goes on to describe that we need one another because we're different from one another. One of you is a hand, one of you is a mouth, one of you is an eye. We've all got these different gifts and they somehow work together. We weren't made to be a homogenous body where everybody's all the same. We were made to be different and still somehow fit together. Yes, our God loves us and he stands by us, just like the Apostle Paul in his loneliness and his desperation. But if you read the rest of 2 Timothy and you look all around that those verses we were talking about earlier, he's writing notes to specific people saying, come to me. I need you. I need you for strength. I need you for encouragement. Come quickly. Why would he need those people, right? He's got God. But the Apostle Paul knew that we need one another. So here we are this morning, this family of faith, and we admit that we have all felt loneliness, we've all felt heartache. At some point, we've all felt abandoned and alone, and we have all experienced the response of a God who is unwilling and incapable of turning his back on us because he has this great love for us. We've all been through that, and we've all have this now network of brothers and sisters who are seated all around us who in Christ love us and support us and build us up. So we've got these two amazing resources right there. We've got God who is always there and the body that he's surrounded us with. And in here, we are looking out at a world who is going through the exact same sort of abandonment, the exact same sort of hurting and loneliness and fears and all that goes with that, but they don't have either of those resources. They're going through the same things that we've gone through without God. They're going through the same things we've gone through without the support of a loving church. And when you are hurting and when you feel like no one around you cares and that you have no sense of there's a greater good or a God out there who cares anything about you either, if you don't have any of that and you're going through the same sort of hurting and pain that you and I've been through, well, is it any wonder that we see lives just spiraling into despair? When you feel like there's nothing and no one who cares about you, not even a God that you can't see and hear all the time. When you don't even feel like you have that, well, no reason, that's no wonder there's any such great despair. Praise God that he loves us enough, not just to be present in our lives, and we're indeed thankful for that, but he is actively working on our behalf. Again, from David, he says, sing to God, sing in praise of his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. Rejoice before him. His name is the Lord. He is a father to the fatherless, a defender of the widows. God is God in his holy dwelling. God sets the lonely in families, and he leads out the prisoners with singing. God knows we're lonely, and not only is he going to be there for us, but he sets us in places where others can minister to us. Because, man, it is sure nice to have God with skin on right nearby. It is so good to have someone who loves you and will put an arm around you and say, I've been through this, or I don't know what you're going through, but I'm there for you. It is so good to have someone who has been through that, or someone who's at least willing to go through that with you. That's what we were created to be. And maybe you are fortunate enough that you have a family right around you who will do that. Maybe you have a spouse or parents or children who can love you and be that resource for you. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot of people that don't have that. We live in an increasingly mobile society where parents live far from the kids and kids live far from the parents. Brothers and sisters are states apart, if not continents apart. We've got people spread out all over the map. I mean, we're thankful for the innovations of transportation, and we can, you know, it's no big deal to drive 10 minutes to be at church, and before that was a half-day journey or longer. And we're thankful that we can go and visit across the continent or across the globe. If we have family members in need, we can just jump on a plane and we can be there. So thankful for all these resources of transportation. But at the same time, that really spreads us out. And it's good to have someone here, someone who's nearby. And so God has placed us in these families, physical families, spiritual families, that are supposed to support us and love us and encourage us in our loneliness. And this morning, maybe you are battling loneliness. Maybe you're a teenager who just feels like they don't fit in at school. Or maybe you're a young adult who's not married and you're thinking, boy, if I could just be married and find that right person, I'd never be lonely again. Or maybe you're married and maybe you've got kids, but you feel like you cannot open up to your spouse about some of the things that you're going through. Or maybe you're older and you've lost your spouse and you're struggling to find your way in a new life that's without them. There are people in every stage of life battling this epidemic of loneliness. And we want you to know as a church that we want to be your family. And if we can love on you, encourage you, pray for you, lift you up, support you, walk with you, we want to do that this morning. If we can help you in any way, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?